Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Tes Zayin. We left off on Tes Vavam and Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Tes Vavam and Beis. The Mishnah is going to list what an animal is considered a tam for and what an animal is considered a mur for. It's going to tell us about Chamisha Tamin, Chamisha Muadin, but then give a list that seems like it's more than just five. The Gemara is going to ask a stira in the Mishnah what the din is by Karen B'chatzer and Izik. We know that it's Machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon, but the Mishnah seems to play both sides, that Karen B'chatzer and Izik, even as a tam, is Chatzi Nezik, but also that it's Nezik Shalim. So the Gemara is going to have four different ways of being Miyashev that stira in the Mishnah. And then at the beginning of the wide lines in Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss when a behema is a muad to crush Kalim. We said Ravitza is something that Kavanos al-Hazik, so it's not considered something that it's typically a muad for, but yet there seems to be some sort of exception that crushing kalim, an animal, can be a muad for. Then the Gemara is going to identify an animal that the Mishnah mentions is always a muad, a bardalus. Most of the other animals that the Mishnah mentions are easy to translate, but bardalus is not an easy word to translate. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the difference between a lion that's dores and a lion that's toreif. Dores means it will rip apart its prey and eat it even before the prey dies, whereas toreif is that it waits till it dies and only eats it later. When does a lion wait, and when does a lion eat it right away? Is one of those things normal and one of them abnormal? Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to discuss the difference between the payment of a shartam and the payment of a sharmuad, that the difference between chatzi nezek and nezek shalim, difference between migufo and minha aliyah, and the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to discuss the accusations that Klal Yisrael had against Yirmiyahu HaNavi, pretty startling accusations for someone like Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Tes Vav Amud Beis, says the Mishnah, Chamisha Tamin v'Chamisha Muadin. There are five things for which an animal is considered a tam, and five that it's a muad. Habehema eina muedes lo ligach v'lo ligof v'lo lishoch v'lo lirbot v'lo livot. A behema is not considered a muad to do things in just a purposely destructive way, like to gore or to push or to bite or to trample or to kick. Any of those things are clearly kavanos alazik kind of things, and therefore an animal is not considered a muad to do those things. Hashein muedes lechal asaro'ila. An animal that eats something, if it's something that's normal for it to eat, it's considered a muad, that's considered shein, and therefore it doesn't start out as a tam, you pay nezek shalim right off the bat. Haregel muedes lishpor b'derech hilucha. Regel is muad to break things as it walks. Whatever it would naturally break as it walks, it's going to pay nezek shalim right off the bat. Vishara muad, vishara mazik b'rishus anizik. Then you also have a shara muad, a shara that actually has a proven track record of goring or biting or kicking or any of these things that we said before. So that is also considered a muad. Vishara mazik b'rishus anizik. And any shara that damages in rishus anizik is also going to be considered a muad va'adam, and when a person does damage, so those are your five muadim that's how Rashi understands va'adam hare chamisha. Right, once you have adam, we have now completed our list of five, because we had shein to eat roila, regel b'derech hilucha, shara muad, shara mazik b'rishus anizik, and adam. Those are the five muadim. Hazeva, Riyadova, Namra, Bardus, Vanachash, Harel, Muadin. And then in addition to that, there are some beasts that are so destructive that they're always considered Muadin, that they don't need a proven track record of damage to be considered a Muad. They're Muad also right off the bat. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Bizmanchein, Bene Tarbus, Ein Muadin. Rabbi Lazar says, well, it depends. Even these wild animals, these a wolf and a lion and a bear and a leopard, even they, if they are trained, then they're not considered a muad. If they're somehow domesticated, somehow trained, then they're not considered a muad. V'anachash muad li'olam. But a snake is always going to be considered a muad. Tosus points out on Tezayin Amud Aleph, Tosus in the wrong place, but it's at the bottom. Tosus on Tezayin Amud Aleph points out that when we say that these wild beasts are muadim, it doesn't mean lav b'chol inyanei hezek chashivi muadim. They're not muadim to just damage in all sorts of different ways. Ela kol echa b'midi de'orchei.
Each one is mu'ud to damage in the way that's most natural to it. For example, if a wolf is taraf, ari is daras, or taraf laniach, that those are normal things for the animal to do. But anything that would not be normal for this animal to damage in that way would only pay chatzi nezek. And then Tos points out, and when we say that you pay in something that this animal is normal, it's normal for this animal to damage in this way, that you pay nezek shalim, that's only if it's in a chatzar nizik. Avol b'rishus rabim pater, davi shein b'rishus rabim, kadam shmol b'gemara, ari b'rishus rabim dar v'achal pater, v'afil nachash shein enemin shichaso. But if it were done in rishus rabim, that would be considered shein, and it would therefore be pater if it were done in rishus rabim. So it's dafka in a rishus hanizik that would be considered an issue. So this is an important ha'ara that Tosus is making. Tosus and the Rush agrees that a nachash, Tosus points out, a nachash, even if he doesn't get any hana'a min shichaso, he doesn't get any pleasure from biting. It's not that he's eating, he's enjoying. Nevertheless, and his kavan is clearly to hurt whatever it's trying to bite, we don't say that it has a din of a keren, in a keren muadas, and it's going to be chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. Since it's darko bekach, it has a din of regel, which is pater in Rosh Hashanah. And that's what Tosfos Ha'ara is over here, that it's only going to be chayiv in Rosh Hashanah, because we look at it like regel, we don't look at it like Karen, even though it's not having any hana'a, and even though its kavana is lahazik, which seems to be part of how we define Karen, nevertheless, it's not considered Karen. And the raya that they bring is from the Mishnah that says that Nachash, together with other chayos, has a din like Karen, and it's pater b'rishus harabim. Meaning that even though it's a din of Karen, it's pater b'rishus harabim. The Magen Mishnah, however, explains that the Rambam seems to assume otherwise. That the Rambam assumes that the biting of a snake has a din of Karen, and is chayiv in rishus harabim. So Chumash Akri, in the back of the Ketzos, wonders what the source is that these chayos are more than mitchilasam, just that it's darkam b'chach would be any different than any other shein v'regel, which is pater in Rosh Hashanah. Why would the Rambam assume that they'd be chayv in Rosh Hashanah if it's darkam b'chach? L'chor it should be just like shein v'regel. So that's something that the Achronim work on. Also, in the Hagos Teferes Yaakov, he points out that there's a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, where the Mishnah talks about a famous Mishnah that the Mishnah seems to imply that a nachash is not a muad. Because the Mishnah over there says that if you're in the middle of davening, afilu nachash karuch alakavo, that even if you have a snake wrapped around your heel, you're not supposed to stop in the middle. And the Gemara over there says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ra'ash shvarim posek. But if you see oxen coming at you, then you stop and you run. Because marchikin mishartam chamish mami, even a shartam, you want to stay 50 amos away from. You never know when the shart is going to go crazy. So, l'chora, it's muchach, the exact opposite of what we're saying over here. It sounds from our Mishnah that the worst is the snake, that the snake will always go after a person. But it sounds from there that the shartam is more dangerous than the snake. The snake could literally be on you and you don't stop, whereas the shartam, even if it's within 50 amos of you, you stop what you're doing. So the Shaul HaMeshiv suggests that even that by a behema is more that to damage another behema, it's more the snake is more the olam. But even a snake is afraid of people. So when it comes to a snake that's karach alakevo, you don't stop in the middle of your shmoneh esrei. The difference between a shar and a snake is a shar will damage anybody. Will damage a person, will damage another shar, and that's why when you see a shar within 50 amos, you can run even if you're right in the middle of davening. A snake will damage animals, but a snake is going to be afraid of people. So if the snake is on your heel, you can still keep on davening and assume that it's not going to damage you. The idea of a shartam is that it's not a guarantee that it's going to damage you, but it will damage you. It's as likely to damage you as it is to damage another animal. In other achronim, we've seen them specifically quotes a sefer called Hechalei Shein in Shalos Tshuvos Hechalei Shein Madurat who says the difference between a shor and other chayos is that a shor wants to damage Bikaren, and nevertheless it's not considered a hazak matzoi because when it tries to attack another shor, it may not be successful. The other shor will defend itself. So it's not considered a muad mitchilaso for tashlumin or for chiyuv shmira, because it's not always going to be successful in its damage. A regel is considered nezek matzui because it's not shaykh to say that the other animal will stand up for itself, because regel is just derech hilucho. It's not doing anything vicious, so no one will know to try to defend themselves. But by other chayos, even though they don't want to damage as much as a shor normally wants to gore, but when other chayos want to damage, they tend to be successful. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that they're amud because they're more successful at damaging. So when you're in the middle of tefillah, you don't have to stop for a nachash. A nachash probably doesn't want to hurt you, doesn't want to damage. That's why you don't stop for a nachash. A shor, you stop for, because it wants to hurt you. It may not be successful, but it wants to hurt you. So there's a difference between, in our Mishnah, where we're saying the nachash is more dangerous, it's more dangerous in the sense of its success rate. When we say in the Mishnah, in Brachos, that it's less dangerous in terms of its desire to actually hurt a person. So let's begin the Gemara. It says Gemara, Midiktani Hashein Muad Es Lechel, from the fact that we said that a Shein is a Muad to eat, Mechal De B'chatzar Nizik Askinan. It must be that we're talking about an Echatzar Nizik, because if you leave food out in Rosh HaSarabim and an animal eats it, the animal is not going to be Chayiv. You shouldn't leave your food out in Rosh HaSarabim. Shein is Pat in Rosh HaSarabim, is only going to be Chayiv in a Echatzar Nizik. Yet V'katani goes on and says, Behema enim wedus l'shalem kulei, aval chatzi nezek mishalemes. That a behema that goes and damages is only going to pay chatzi nezek. So we're assuming, if we're talking about keren, that it's going to pay chatzi nezek, even though the topic of the Mishnah is that it's damaging in rishos hanizik. That even keren b'rishos hanizik only pays chatzi nezek. Money, so who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbanani, damri mishuna keren b'chatzar nizik chatzi nezek du mishalem. That's the Rabbanan who hold that Karen pays chatzi nezek, not only in a rishos harabim, but even in a rishos hanizik. That's what our Mishnah seems to be assuming, that Karen always pays chatzi nezek, even if it trespasses into rishos hanizik and gores something. Ema seifa, but then the seifa of our very Mishnah says shara muad v'shara mazik b'rishos hanizik. When we're listing all of the muadim, the chamesh muadim, among the chamesh muadim is a shor that's mazik b'rishos hanizik. And Vel Adam, I saw in the Rabbi Tarfon, that assumes like Rabbi Tarfon, that this whole rule that Karen only pays Chatzi Nezek the first couple of times, that's only in Rosh HaSarabim. But in Rosh HaNizik, it's going to pay Nezek Shalem. That's Rabbi Tarfon's Shita. So Reisha Rabbanan, the Sefer Rabbi Tarfon, what's going on over here? The first part of our Mishnah assumes that if an animal goes into Rosh HaNizik and damages, it only pays Chatzi Nezek. It's still going to be considered Karen Tam, and only pays chatzi nezek. Yet the second half of our Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Tarfon that when it goes into Rosh HaNizik on account of its trespass, it's going to have to pay nezek shalem. Which is it? Answers the Gemara four possibilities. Number one, maybe it's two different tanaim that are reflected in our Mishnah. Tam Rosh Shmuel Rav Yudah Shinna Shvok Mas Nisan V'Tov Basrai Reish Rabban V'Seif Rabbi Tarfon. That that's in fact exactly what's going on. That the Reish is going like the Rabbanan, that even Rosh HaNizik it only pays chatzi nezek, and the safe is going like Rabbi Tarfon, that Rosh HaNizik pays nezek shalem. Second answer, Reb Lazar Mishpray the Rav Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfon he. The whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon, that when an animal goes into Rosh HaNizik, it trespasses and it gores, it's going to pay nezek shalem. Why in the Reisha did we assume that it only pays chatzi nezek? Reisha b'chatzra miyuchedes l'peiros l'echon mehen u'lezeh u'lezeh l'shvarim. The Reisha is talking about a case where the chatzer is a chatzer where one of them had the right to bring peiros in, but both of them had the right to bring a shor in. So the legabe shein avila chatzra nizik. So with regard to shein, it's considered a chatzra nizik because only one of them had the right to bring peiros in. So when the animal goes in and eats those peiros, it's considered like a trespass vis-a-vis those peiros. So it's considered a chatzar nizik. But Ulgabe Karen, since they both had the right to bring Shvarim in, with regard to Karen, Havi Rosh Hashanah, it has the status of Rosh Hashanah. So you want to know why in the Reisha the animal only pays Chatzi Nezek? Isn't it talking about where it's Rosh Hashanah Nezek? No, it's talking about something that has the status of Rosh Hashanah. That's why it pays Chatzi Nezek. But Eina Chinami, if it were to go into an actual Rosh Hashanah Nezek, it would pay Nezek Shalem, because our mission assumes, like Rabbi Tarfon, Amr Avkan Armisa Shmaita Kamedra of Zvidmi Nardova, Amr Li, I said this over, this teretz over, so Zvidmi Nardova, and he challenged, he said, Mimatzas Mukmul Akulak Rabbi Tarfon, can you really say that the whole mission is going like Rabbi Tarfon? Hakatani Hashem Muadis Lechalas Aroyla. The Mishnah goes on to say that a Shein is only, it's an animal is only Muad to eat that which is Ra'uila. Ra'uila in, She'ein Ra'uila lo. But to eat something that's not normal for it to eat, it's not considered a Muad. But via Rabbi Tarfon, Ha'amra Mishuna Karen Mechatzar Nezek Shalim Meshalim, Rabbi Tarfon would hold even things that are not Ra'uila, once you trespass and you're in the Chatzar Nezek, you are in Nezek Shalim territory. You are going to always be a Muad. Meaning, if an animal is going to pay Nezek Shalim for goring in Rosh Hashanah Nezek, it's also going to pay Nezek Shalim for eating that which is not Ro'ila. That would both be considered Karen. It would both be considered something that's abnormal, and it would pay Nezek Shalim. So don't tell me that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Tarfon. Our Mishnah doesn't fit perfectly with Rabbi Tarfon. So we can move on to a third answer. Elili Olam Rabbananhi. Our Mishnah, in fact, must be assuming, like the Rabbanan, that a Karen B'chatzar HaNizik also still only pays Chatzi Nezek. Why then in the Seifa did we list among the Muadim, among the Chamisha Muadim, we list the Karen B'chatzar HaNizik as one of the Muadim. We said a Behema that goes into Chatzar HaNizik is one of the Karen B'chatzar HaNizik, or the way we said it is Shara Mazik B'rishos HaNizik, is considered one of the Muadim. You have to add a little bit to the Mishnah. The Mishnah should read as follows. Chamisha Tamhein Vim Huadu Chamishton Muadin. So that's the most significant change right there. That when we said Chamisha Tamim and Chamisha Muadin, it's not that we say that there are five Tamin, and then we later list the Chamisha Muadin. It's the Chamisha Tamin are themselves the Muadim once it does it three times. The later list in the Mishnah is a whole new discussion. So how do we then proceed in the Mishnah when it starts talking about Shein and Regel being Muad Mitchilasa? That's not giving the list of the five Muadim. When we talk about Shara Muad, Shara Mazib, Rishus, Nizik, Adam, that's not the list. The list is the original five Tamin. When they do it three times, they're considered a Muad. Vishain Varegel. So how do I understand the line about Shein Varegel? Those are Muadim Mitchilasan. Those are Muad at the very outset. They don't have to become a Muad. They are a Muad. Ve'echan Asan. And where are they a Muad? B'chatzar HaNizik. In the Chatzar HaNizik. So when the Mishnah said that a Behema B'Rishus HaNizik, it's not giving another type of Muad. It's explaining Shein V'Regel. It's not talking about goring in Rishus HaNizik. It's talking about eating, walking in Rishus HaNizik. It's just describing Shein V'Regel, and we have the freedom to say that because we don't need a list of five things. We don't need to identify five separate statements in that part of the Mishnah. We can explain those lines however we want once the five have already been covered by the Reisha. So we're saying, yeah, when we talk about a Behema, Bereshus HaNizik, it's not at all talking about Karen. It's explaining how Shein V'Regel is a Muad. Maskef L'Ravina HaKatani L'Kaman, but it says later on, Shara Maskef Bereshus HaNizik Ketzad. Later the Mishnah is going to say that if you have a Shara Mazik Bereshus HaNizik, what's an example of that? And it's going to start talking about Keren. Well, Iyam Rishloma Ayriba, Mishamachi Katani Ketzad. If in our Mishnah, when it said Shara Mazik Bereshus HaNizik, it was actually talking about Keren, then it makes sense that a later Mishnah will say, okay, let's elaborate, and we'll continue to talk about Keren. Eliyamrit lo ayriba. But if this line in our Mishnah is really just about Shein and Regel, and it's not about Keren at all, my Ketzad, how can the later Mishnah come back to it as if we were talking about Keren and continue a conversation about Keren? So this answer doesn't work either. Rather, the Gemara suggests a fourth approach to our Mishnah, and this one we're so excited about, we're going to say it three times in the next 15 lines. Ela Amar Ravina, so Ravina says as follows, Chisuri Mechzra V'Hachi Ketan. Tani. Here's how you really need to read the Mishnah. Chamisha tamim hein, v'muadu chamishtun muadin. The first part, like we just said, that there are five tamim and not five separate muadim. Those five tamim, if they do it three times, they become a muad. How do we read the next part of the Mishnah? V'shein v'regel muadim mitzchilasan. Shein and regel is a muad right at the outset. V'zehu shor muad. That's what we refer to when we talk about a shor muad. Shor muad means shein v'regel. If it eats, if it just walks and damages, that is a shor muad. And then when the Mishnah goes on to say v'shor mazik b'rishus hanizik, it's not giving another example of a muad when it says v'shor mazik b'rishus hanizik. Here's the key line we're just referring to machlokas Rabbi Tarfon for Rabbanan, that it's raising the topic that a shor mazik and rishus hanizik, that if an animal damages with keren, so this line is about keren. It's not about regel. It's about keren. And the Mishnah is referring us to the idea that this is a topic, that this is something that's going to be a machlokas. It's a point of discussion between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. The Mishnah never mentions Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. Okay, but that's what it means when it says Shara Mazik Bereshus Hanizik. That you should know that this is a point of discussion between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan. And then the Mishnah at the end says V'yesh Muadim Keotze Be'elu. There are other things that are Muadim on a similar level. What does it mean, a similar level? Things that are muadim right off the bat hazev ari adov abadlus v'namar v'nachash. And then we say tani namiachi. We're so excited by this pshat in the Mishnah. In fact, there's a brisa that says it exactly this way. That's explicit that this is how to read it. Chamisha tamin hein v'im huadu chamishtan muadin. Right away, you see the brisa says that the five muadim are not a subsequent list in the Mishnah. It's taking the chamisha tamim and telling us that if they do it three times, they become muad. V'shein v'regel muadim t'chilasan v'zeu shara muad. Shein and regel are muad at the outset, and that's what we mean when we say shara muad. Like we just said, the line about Shara Mazik B'Rishus HaNizik, we're just referring to the topic and saying that it happens to be a Machlokas Tanayim. V'yesh Muadim Acherim Ki Yotze Be'elu Azeiv Ariyah Adov Anam Rabbadis V'Nachash. Ika de Ramulam Mirma. Some ask it as a stira, that Tanan Chamisha Tam V'Chamisha Muadim, that we say that there are five Tamin and five Muadim. And then the Gemara says, really, only five Muadim? V'su Leka? Meaning the Mishnah, if you're going to read the Mishnah the way we originally read it, it gives the list of Chamisha Muadim. What did it say? That a Shein, and a Regel, and a Shora Muad, and a Shora Mazik Bereshus HaNizik, and an Adam, those are your five Muadim. But then the Mishnah, in the very next line, starts talking about the bear and the wolf and the lion. So those are also muadim. V'su leka, v'ika ze'eva ri'adova namar v'abarad z'va'nachash. How can you say that there are only five muadim? Umeshani, and it answers that you're supposed to read it the way we just touched up, that you're supposed to read it, the way Ravina read it. That amar Ravina, chisuri mechzavachi katani. Here is the third time we say it, to read it this way. Chamisha tamim hein, that there are five tamim, v'im huadu chamishtun muadim. We're not saying that there's a list of five muadim, that these five things that it's considered tam are going to be a muad if it does it three times. And then separately, v'shein v'regel muadim mitchlasim v'zeu shor muad. That shein and regel are always a muad. V'shar mazik b'rishus hanizik machlokas Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbanan. Shar the damages in rishus hanizik, that's with keren, that's considered to be machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan, where Rabbi Tarfon says you pay nezik shalim right at the outset, and the Rabbanan say only chatzi nezik. V'yesh muadim macherim keyotzi ve'elu. And there are other muadim. Hazei v'ari adov anam rabbanis v'nachesh. So that's how we read the Mishnah in the end. So it sounded like it was giving a list of five muadim, but it wasn't really. It was just telling us the five tamin can become muadin, and then it was just telling us shein and regel are always muad. When an animal does damage in rishus hanizik, that's a machlokas tanaim. When it does keren rishus hanizik, whether it pays chatzi nezek, just like a rishus rabim, or nezek shalem right off the bat. And on top of that, you should realize that there are some animals that are extremely dangerous. Fine, v'lo lirbot. So of the things we said an animal is a tam for, until it does it three times, is that an animal doesn't trample on things. It doesn't purposefully trample on things. To walk and just happen to step on things, it steps. That it does. That's regel. That's a muad for. But to purposefully trample on things, that it's not a muad for. Amro b'lozolo shanu al pachim gedolim. That's only when it comes to large vessels. Aval pachim ketanim urchehu. But smaller vessels, it is very normal for an animal to pounce on them, to trample on them, and to break them.
We have a riot to this. It says
beferish that it's normal for an animal to break kelim. So don't you see that pachim, that it must be pachim ketanim that we're talking about, that it's normal for it to break? Because we said in our Mishnah that it's not normal for it to break kelim. So you see that must be talking about pachim gedol.
Says Gemara, no, Dilma Minatzad. Maybe when we say that it's normal for an animal to break kelim as it walks, it's talking about if an animal has to fit through a narrow area and there's a kli between its body and the wall, that it's normal for it to try to squeeze through and break the kli. But it's not normal for an animal to pounce down on top of a kli, whether it be pachim gadolim or pachim ketanim.
Igada Amri Amr of Lazar, a second version, there are going to be three in total, a second version of this discussion is that Amr of Lazar lotem a pachim gadolim hu de lav orchehu, pachim gadolim orchehu, elafilu pachim gadolim nami lav orchehu, that don't think to distinguish between large kelim and small kelim.
No, any type of kelim, even small ones, it's not normal for an animal to pounce on.
Meisvei ulamai chasa adam esabema ve'es ha-kelim. Aye, but we had this brisa that said that it is normal for an animal to break kelim, so that's what Rabbi Elazar says. So Rabbi Elazar dilma minatzad. No, maybe it's normal for an animal to break kelim minatzad. So according to this version, there is no machlok. There's no distinction between pachim gedolim and pachim ketanim. The only distinction is minatzad, or whether it steps on something. To step on something, it would never try to step on a kli. To crush it as it's trying to fit through a narrow area, yeah, that it would do. According to the first version of the discussion, it was a dilma minatzad, meaning pashtus is there is a distinction between large and small, but maybe not. Maybe the distinction is not between large and small, maybe it's minatzad. Second version, no distinction between large and small. Ika derami lamir, man, some say it as a stira. Tanan, lo lirvots, that it's not normal for an animal to be rovates. Vatanya lamay chasad mesbeim veskelim. Aye, what do we do about the braisa? That's not a stira. One's talking about pachim gedolim, one's talking about pachim ketanim. So the third version definitely distinguishes between large and small kelim. So here we have three versions of the same discussion. First version leaves the possibility open that maybe small kelim it's a muad to step on purposefully. The second version doesn't even open the discussion. No way, small kelim, large kelim, it's never a muad to break those types of things. Third version, it is a muad to break small kelim. It's just not a muad to break large kelim. So how do you paskin over here? The Rif doesn't bring the three lashonos in the Gemara, and the Rush writes in Simcha Aleph that he assumes that the Mishnah and the Braisa are kipshutam, that we're talking bein gedolim, bein ketanim, it's lo lirvots, it's not normal for the animal to be rovates. And when it says l'maychas adam esabeim v'sakelim, which implies both small and large, it must be talking about that it's minatzad, that it's crushing it minatzad. But small and large is not, meaning the Rif paskins like the second lashon, that we don't distinguish at all between small and large. He says, because Aliba de Emes, he says, that's the Lishon of Basra, because the Lashon Rishon and the Lashon Achron are really the same, meaning 1 and 3, the Rif views as being the same. So since the third Lashon came already in the form of the first Lashon, we view as the Lishon of Basra, Lashon number 2. And we always pass on like a Lishon of Basra. So you would think that maybe the third one is Lishon of Basra, but no. The third one he views as the same as the first one. The distinction between Gedolim and Ketanim was already said in the first Lashon, even though the first Lashon was Docha it, but not with any definitive force. So therefore he paskins like the second Lashon. Other Rishonim, the Rambam and others, paskin to distinguish between pachim gedolim and pachim ketanim, like the third Lashon. And the Rashba explains, because that's Rabbi Elazar brought that up in the first Lashon. The Gemara brings a riot to it from a Braisa. And yeah, it's docha, but it's only docha b'lashon dilma. And in the Lishon of Basra, that's the maskana. Meaning, instead of looking at it and saying, oh, the second Lashon is really Lishon of Basra, two out of three Lashonos distinguish between Pachim Gadol and Pachim Ketanim. So that's why many Rishonim say, good, so that must be the halacha, that we distinguish between Pachim Gadol and Pachim Ketanim. So this is the Machlokas Rishonim, had a paskin over here. Right there in the Gemara. Has the Eva Ari, We had mentioned that certain animals are inherently dangerous, a wolf and a lion and a bear and a leopard and a bardalus. So my bardalus, what in the world is a bardalus? Amar Rav Yehuda Nifriza, it's a Nifriza. My Nifriza, Amar Rav Yosef Appa, it's an Appa. I think they say it's a hyena. What does the article say? Does anyone have an article? I don't know, I think they say it's a hyena. Some other wild animal. Commentators differ. Okay. So, Meisvei, Rameir Omer, it's an apple. Rameir Omer, I wouldn't be able to identify a hyena anyway. I didn't see The Lion King enough times. Meisvei, Rameir Omer, Af HaTzavua, that even a Tzavua, Rav Lazar Omer, Af HaNachash, that even a Nachash, Omer Rav Yosef, Tzavua Zu Apa. And Rav Yosef says, Tzavua is an apple. So Gemara says, sounds like it's not a Bardalus, because Rameir said, in addition to all the animals mentioned in the Mishnah, even a tzavua. But if a tzavua is an apa, and we already mentioned an apa in the Mishnah, so what do you mean even? So lo kasha, kan b'tzavua zachar, kan b'tzavua nekeva. Difference between a male and a female. Apparently, they're considered like different animals. D'tanya, tzavua zachar, la'achar shevashanim nasa atlif. A tzavua zachar turns into an atlif after 7 years. Atlif la'achar shevashanim nasa arpad, turns into an arpad after 7 years. Arpad la'achar zayin shanim nasa kimush. And kimush la'achar shevashanim nasa choach. Choach la'achar shevashanim nasa shade. Period. So that's the development of this animal. Happens to be, once we mention something that changes after 7 years, the Gemara also mentions Shidro Shaladim Nachash Shevashanim Nasa Nachash, that a person's spine 7 years after he's buried turns into a snake. Vahani Mili Delo Kara B'Modim. But that's not for everybody. That's only if a person didn't bow properly at Modim. Tosos and Tazayim Beis Dibra Maskel V'Hu quotes in the name of the Gilyon and the Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz that that's because it's that when a person's korea b'tfila, one is supposed to be korea like a snake, that he's supposed to be stand up by picking up his head and slithering up like a snake. The Gemara Brachos Daf Yud Beis says that's what Rav Sheshes did, and therefore mida kenegan mida, if he doesn't do that properly, his spine is going to turn into a snake. So the Marsha explains that the idea of kriya l'Hashem is a show of humility. It's the opposite of the derech hanachash. The Gemara in Sota says about the nachash, ania marti yahalich b'kom zekufa, that the snake's punishment was that he wanted to go become a zakufa, he represented gaiva, and now al gechono yelich is going to have to slither on the ground. So that's why Chazal say that a person should do kriya b'hachna'a kichizra, that he should do it with total submission, submissiveness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. So that's the mida keneged mida, that he turns into a snake. Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz also quote another reason, named Yesh Mefarshim, that the onesh is that he's not going to be chai las lavo, because the Medrash says that there's a certain bone in a person's spine from which he's going to be recreated las lavo, and it's a very strong bone, and it's very hard until to the point that even if you cremate a body, even if you were to burn a body, this bone would not burn. So it's nepach l'nachash, so that he won't live la'as lavo. But then tells us it's not mistaver that for something like that, a person's not going to live la'as lavo. Meaning, really, just for not bowing at modim, seems hard to imagine that would take away la'as lavo. So that's why the Rishonim are not in love with that shita. And there's a big discussion why it is that we're so, that the kriya by modim is such an overemphasized kriya, more so than the other kriyos that we have. So there has to be some deep message about the value of Chodaa in that. Omer Mar, so we had said before, Meir Omer Af HaTzavua, Rabbi Lazar Omer Af HaNachash. Rabbi Meir said that Tzavua also belongs on the list, and Rabbi Lazar says that Nachash also belongs on the list. Aiva Anantan Rabbi Lazar Omer Zman Shein B'nei Tarbus Ein Muadan VaNachash Muad Liolam. But didn't we say that Rabbi Lazar says that Nachash is a muad, but the others are not? So how come over here he's saying Af HaNachash, which makes it sound like he agrees with the rest of the list, and he's just adding Nachash to the list? In our Mishnah, it sounds like he thinks that the others don't really belong on this list of inherently dangerous animals. He thinks that the others can be trained. So Tani Nachash. In Achinami, you have to change that. When Rabbi Lazar introduces in the Braisa Nachash, he's not saying Af HaNachash, that he agrees with the other animals and thinks that a nachash is just like the rest of the animals. He's saying, no, nachash is separate from the rest of these dangerous animals. The rest of the dangerous animals can be tamed, but a nachash cannot be tamed. Amr Shmuel, Arib Rosh Hashanah, Daras V'Yachal, Potter. A lion in a Rishus Rabim, if it's doras v'achal, meaning it rips apart its prey and eats it before it even dies, doesn't wait for it to die, so that's not normal, and it's therefore going to be that is normal, and therefore it's going to be Potter, because since it's normal, it's considered Shein, and Shein Rishus Rabim is Potter. Shein is only Chayiv Rishus HaNizik. So Rishus Rabim is considered normal, it's going to be Potter. Taraf yachal, but if it rips apart its prey, waits for it to die, and then only later eats it, that is not normal. That's like keren, and therefore chayiv. Therefore, it's going to be chayiv even in Rosh Hashanah. Daras v'yachal pater kibin dorche l'midras havelei kamo shachal peres v'yirachos davelei shem Rosh Hashanah pater. If it doesn't wait for its prey to die, so that's considered normal for him. Therefore, it's considered like shein Rosh Hashanah means pater. Taraf lavorchehu, but if it waits for the prey to die before it eats it, that's abnormal, and therefore it's kered b'rishus rabim, it's going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, really, meima detrefa lavorchehu, is it not normal for an animal, for a lion to wait for the animal that it just ripped apart to die before eating it? Vaksiv arye toref b'digorosav, so you see that it says specifically that a lion is toref in order to feed its young. Says the Gemara, yeah, bishvil garosav, to feed its young, but to eat for itself, it's not toref. To eat for itself, it's only going to be dores. Ayu mechanic lavosav, it says that it's mechanic lavosav, implies also that it's normal for it to kill before and wait for it to die. No, bishvil lavosav, again, only for the levi, only for it to feed its family. Vayimale taref charav, but it says it's going to fill its holes, its hiding places, with taref, which means dead animal. So you see, it is normal for it to wait for the animal to die. Bishvil chorav, that's only if it needs to fill its supply back home. But to eat right now, if an animal's hungry right now, it's not. If the lion's hungry right now, it's not going to wait for its prey to die. Uma onosav trefa. So what about the fact that it says monosav trefa? So it sounds like, again, that a trefa is normal for it to wait for it to be a trefa, for it to die. Bishvil monosav. No, that too is only b'shvil ma'onosav. Ayva tanya v'chein chayish nichsad l'chatzar nizik tarfa behema v'achle basar mishalim nezik shalim. That if it's tarfa, it pays nezik shalim. So you see that in a chatzar nizik, it's paying nezik shalim. Must be that we're talking that it's normal, that it's a told of the shein, and that's why it's paying nezik shalim. So you see that it's normal for it to wait for its prey to die. Hachmaiskin and shetarfa laniach. Now over there, it's talking about where it was toref in order to put it away for later. It wasn't being toref to eat it right now, but to eat it right now would in fact be an abnormal thing for the animal to do. But ha'achla katani. But it says that it's achla. How can you say that it's tarfa laniach? The Brisa says that it's tarfa va'achla. Sounds like it eats it right away. So Gemara says b'shenim l'chavi achla. No, it's talking about when it's first ripped apart its prey, it wanted to put it aside for later, and that's why it's a told to the shame. Only afterward it decided to eat it right away. So minaya dinan. How do we know what it intended to do when it first started ripping apart another animal? You interviewed it. Excuse me, Mr. Lyon. And what would you like to do? Va'o de Shmuel Nami, and even the din of Shmuel, that an Aribir Shosarabim, that's Tara V'yachal, pays Chatzin Nezek, Dilmahachihu. Maybe the Kavan of the Ari was initially was to put it aside and to eat it later, and therefore it should have been a told to the Shein, and it just changed its mind and it decided to eat it right now. How do you know what's going on in the animal's mind? So the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about that. The whole answer that we said, Tarfal Aniach, and then it changes its mind, we're backing off of that right now. Amar of Nachum Ries, the Bryce is not talking about that it was tarif a behema and ate the meat. Let's study in Katani. The Bryce is telling us two different types of niske shein. Shetarfa, if the chaya was tarif a behema, b'chatzar nizik lahaniach, in order to eat it afterwards, oh, darsa v'yachla, or it ate it right away without waiting for it to die. In either of those cases, mishalim nezik shalim. So there's no mind reading over here. If it was tarfa, but not to eat it right away, to eat it much later, then you pay nezik shalim, because that's normal. And if it's darsa to eat it right away, that's also normal. The only thing that's not normal is tarfa to eat it right away. Ravina Amar, that really it is normal for an ari to be toref. Ki kamar Shmuel, when Shmuel says it's not normal for an ari to be toreif, bari tarbus, that's talking about a tamed lion. According to Rav Elazar, in our Mishnah, it says that a lion can be tamed, and it's therefore lavorche. Ihach, yafilu darsa nami lechayiv. So if that's the case, even if it's darsa and eats without killing it, it should also be chayiv in Rosh Hashanah because it's not normal, and therefore it should have a din of keren Rosh Hashanah, so it should be chayiv. Ela de Ravina lava Shmuel itmar. Now Ravina was not trying to explain Shmuel, ela amasnisa. He was trying to explain the Brisa. Ki tani masnisa, when the Brisa says that a chayav that's tarfa va'achla b'chatzra nizik is mishalim nezik shalim, it's not midin shein, it's midin keren, and it's bari tarbus v'alibid Rav Lazar dama lavorche. It's a tamed lion, but it's going like Rav Lazar that it's not normal for it to damage, and therefore you can't be mechayav midin shein. But if it's midin keren, chati nezik b'yishlumei, it should have only had to pay chati nezik, not nezik shalem. So de'iyai. Now we're talking about that it already did it three times, and therefore it had become a muad. Ihachi, if it had become a muad, mayai de ketani lagabi told of the shein. Then why does the brisa list it together with the told of shein? Gabi told of the keren by lemisniya. So the Gemara answers, yeah, it should have been mentioned together with the told of keren. I'm sorry, that's part of the question. Gabi told the keren by lemisniya. It should have been mentioned by the told of keren. Why is it mentioned by the told of shein? Gemara says kasha. Eino chinami, that's a kasha. The Achronim discuss why it's only a kasha and not a tiyufta. So there must be some terence. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. Try to make up some ground.